Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Let's go with 7.
Number 7, come on. There's math would indicate that we got to be getting close. Willie Adames.
1-2 pitch. Willie, a swing and a miss. Went after an elevated fastball and strikes out.
Come on.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And a good morning to you. Michelle Richards on hand as well. Vince is off. He's receiving and getting and bringing his daughter back home from college. So it's staged in Milwaukee and across Wisconsin. It's a very popular show. It's Bravo's Top Chef. And the latest episode was Wednesday night. And what could they talk about?
I'm Kristen Kish. And this season, we're shaking things up.
We're in Wisconsin. But what do you think we're going to see this year?
You know, going into Wisconsin, going to Milwaukee, there's going to be cheese. There's going to be bratwurst.
I need dairy.
And beer.
And a lot of beer.
It's Top Chef. And a lot of cranberries, perhaps. Joining us from What's on Tap, you hear it 2 hours now, 6 p.m. to 8 when there's no brewers.
Yeah.
On WTMJ, it's Sandy Max. Hello, Sandy.
Hello. Good morning, Eric and Michelle. This was a cheese-free episode.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Of Top Chef Wisconsin. Very unusual, but yeah, lots and lots of cranberries. The show started with the three chef judges.
Yeah.
Kristen Kish, Tom Colicchio, and Gail Simmons all standing in waiters in this metal vat of cranberry. So a faux bog, if you will.
You knew they had to bring the bogs in at some point, right?
I would have liked it, though. It would have been great to have some drone shots of this, but it might have been the wrong time of year to get cranberry bogs in the wild. But so they announced that the quick fire challenge was all about cranberries and using them in an unusual way. Because if you didn't already know, we learned that Wisconsin is the number one state for cranberries.
So no sauce, no cranberry sauce.
Somebody did a sauce and it got critiqued. It was like, it wasn't unusual. And I think the texture was described as sandy. So I got to hear my name in the show for a moment, you know. But creative. Cranberry, Chef Dan Jacobs from Milwaukee is still in it in last night's episode. It's up to you if you want me to tell you if he packed his knives or not.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I say we should know whether or not to root for our local guy.
I agree.
He's still in it. He did not have to pack his knives. He showed up, and he had a cranberry red curry.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. So it had a little spice to it then with that curry there? Does that bring a little?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to taste it, but yes. But those are the inventive ways where you think of cranberries either in the can or next to the turkey. So these were inventive ways to do that. So that was the big quick fire challenge, which pretty much everybody dreads because it's like a relay gun. Okay, go!
Yeah, and figure it out.
It did make me laugh, though, when they said, okay, and the clock starts now. And all the chef contestants rush towards this bog using their bowls to scoop out the cranberries. Like, I guess I thought they would get them in a little bowl at their workstations, but no, they just went and
just with their hands
scooped it and got it and started going. But the focus not only was on cranberries, but the elimination challenge was using only ingredients that are indigenous foods. So they had some Native American chefs on. Elena Terry.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Elena Terry is a Ho-Chunk chef. And she greeted everyone in Ho-Chunk and did her introduction. So really brought authentic culture to the show. And there's another 3-time James Beard Award-winning chef named Sean Sherman. They were the guest judges. Also for the cranberries, representing Dempsey Cranberry Farm in Wisconsin Rapids, they had a woman named Rochelle. So she was there for the quick fire challenge. But then they also had some guest diners. Jessica Walks First is the executive chef and owner of a Chicago pop-up kitchen, the first Native American pop-up kitchen, which is pretty cool. And then Bryce Stevenson has a restaurant in La Pointe, M-I-I-J-I-M, Mijim. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correct, but really making a focus. When you think about all the ethnic foods, especially here in Wisconsin that we have from immigrants who came from different parts of the world, but we don't really have a strong Native American cuisine, like a restaurant to go to or even a food truck like that. So the challenge was all indigenous ingredients. So that meant no dairy, no sugarcane, no flour. like a lot of these processed foods that all of these chefs are accustomed to experimenting right. and working with all this time.
Indigenous ingredients. I'm trying to think if I could rattle off that many.
It's
corn.
So, yes, perfect. Wild rice. You've got animals like bison, duck,
yes, bison,
goose,
yes,
elk,
sure, like game.
Yes, yes. So it was this really, and mushrooms. So it was real apples. Cool after they announced this challenge. The chefs I was just talking about and all the chef testants sat around a big table and they feasted on all these different types of food, pretty much as research to figure out, okay, well, what can I make now out of squash and vegetables and things that you find and different types of seeds and seasonings that you might not think of. For example, Chef Dan Jacobs, his whole dish was based around sunflower. Everything, using the petals to the seeds to the actual, cool. they call it the choke, like an artichoke. You can roast that and make it. So how do you honor the foods that come yeah. from the earth, which is very Native American culture. And the winning dish, I won't tell you who it was, but it was a dessert that the Native American chef judges in particular said, we saw you in the kitchen and the food was telling you what it wanted to be. So, you know, it's this.
I wish that could happen in my kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. It's like instead of trying to make a food be something. So it's been really, really a creative challenge. So that was, it was really nice to see Native American culture be celebrated and really in an authentic way. I felt like they presented it well. I haven't heard any criticisms of, they skipped this or skipped that. So we definitely saw different foods. And we saw a restaurant that I have not been to yet. Have either of you been to Il Servo?
Ooh, is that in the trade?
It's the fancy the Italian restaurant in the trade. And that's where the kitchen that the elimination challenge happened. The other
that's
thing.
Cool. How did it look? Did they show?
Gorgeous. Yeah. Floor to ceiling windows that you could see.
That's a different perspective of the city, too,
yes.
from there, I bet.
Yeah, right next to Fiserv Forum. So that was cool. Again, for anybody who's grown up in Wisconsin and lived in Milwaukee or Madison or seen all these sites, there were, you know, shots of the domes and City Hall. Like, okay, yeah. But it's still bringing you places that you haven't been as far as being a tourist in your own town and watching this. So I haven't been to Il Servo yet, but I'd like to after seeing this, you know.
Now you have to.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And the other interesting thing about the elimination challenge, when you talk about all indigenous foods, you don't run around Whole Foods. You know, there is no El Rey for Native American foods. There
Do
is
they
no
have to hunt bison?
Moto. Wouldn't that have been
That'd
fun?
Be great.
That would have been a longer show. But they the Native American chefs like stocked the pantry at the Il Servo kitchen and there was some nastiness going on there, some elbowing, and people just hoarding stuff. Like, I'm going to take all of these seeds. And somebody's like, does anybody have any raisins? And like, this woman's like pouring out a handful to one of there the other go. Chef contestants. So it was an interesting dynamic of really making the point of cuisine and Native American cuisine and the opportunity to celebrate it and make it more, I hesitate to use the word mainstream, but make it more of a choice.
Top Chef Wisconsin airing on Bravo every Wednesday night. Sandy Max from What's on Tap. Okay, to next week. I'm always looking forward to whatever they're going to show next week. What's the little preview? What do we get?
Meat raffle!
Where's Petrano?
A meat raffle and a fish boil.
Oh, wow.
So you're going to see flames. You're going to see, so as much as we did not have cheese in this one, we are leaning all the way back into the
fantastic.
Wisconsin tradition. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And it looks like the fish boil is going to be served on a beach. So it looks like we're going to have, like the Discovery World Restaurant Wars, it looks like we're going to have a lot of people who are dining and judging.
Oh, fantastic.
But yeah, it's next week, it's going to be action-packed, I think, between the meat raffle and the flambeau of a fish boil.
Much more tonight on What's on Tap, two-hour program, right?
Yeah, starting
6 p.m.
at 6. Yeah.
Sandy Max, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
8:21 to debate or not to debate. Got some interesting perspective on that. Hey, heads up, Milwaukee. A big day today as far as a vice presidential visit. So Kamala Harris expected to be here. She's going to land around 11 o'clock. Sounds like she's going to the Discovery World area. And then she's going to leave around 2:30. So obviously that means closures, road closures, that kind of thing. And more congestion because people are going to be coming to that event between 11-ish and 2:30 is when you can expect maybe some streets being shut down or some different motorcades taking place. Other story as far as the campaigns go, the debates have now been set. There'll be two presidential debates between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. One in June 27th, Michelle, which seems early to me.
Seems early.
And the other one is in September. So I was curious about that. Why Why June?
Why are these two debating in June, more than 4 months before the election? Well, the campaign say it's because so many people now vote early. But the Trump team is also looking for a way to turn the page after his criminal trial ends, while Biden, who is trailing in many polls, could use a strong head-to-head performance to remind voters why they went for him over Trump in 2020.
CBS correspondent Nancy Cordes there. So the June debate will be the earliest televised presidential debate in history. So we've never had one in June before. So we have the debate. So it got us talking, too, like, are they necessary anymore? And I do believe that they are, but they also seem to have become a sideshow in many ways. And I wanted to find some young voters. So I grabbed two of our younger colleagues here at Good Karma Brands. They both work at 101.7 The Truth. Two colleagues who actually have a new show coming on starting next week. Carrie Mahone and Ben Hooks. Jammin' with Juice is going to start premiering next week. But I wanted to ask them what their take is. They're young. They're hip. What's their take on presidential debates?
I think presidential debates are the highlights of the election, right? Like, everybody kind of wants to figure out who we're all going to vote for. It's kind of a chance for Americans to get a chance to see, like, two titans going against each other. I mean, even the last presidential election, we had Biden, we had Trump, right? Yeah. And now this is round two. You know, and everybody, I mean, personally, me, I was on the edge of my seat last time I sat back and watched the presidential debate. The thing is, a lot of Americans aren't even into politics like that. A lot of people don't even pay attention. But when it comes down to big WWE things like this, this is where we all lock in and we start to see, like, you know, who these people are and who they projected or at least told us who they were throughout their campaign.
But can I ask you though, so is it entertainment or is it informative?
See, that's exactly what I was about to say. I think more people, or at least the millennials of it all, we are like, it's entertaining. Because Trump is a very entertaining person. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
Some days when he was president, it's like, what is he going to wake up and do today? What is
it was exciting when he was president. I'm not going to lie.
You know, we had a lot of drama going on.
It was a story after story.
Exactly. So I think more so people are like, okay, what's the entertaining thing that is going to be said? Because to be honest, I don't believe that either one of them are telling the truth when they are at these debates. So it's like, okay, you're saying all of this stuff, and I understand you're just trying to get the vote. Are you really going to do this? Do you really even care about this? I don't know. But I definitely think it is still needed, just because I think the back and forth between them two is kind of entertaining. Like, we need that.
Yes, I'm with you there. So I do also feel that, like, the debates are necessary. But the only issue I have is I don't really think they do anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't think so?
I don't think a person, Ben, is saying, you know what? I don't know who to vote for, so I'm going to watch the debate tonight.
That's not what it's for.
you know what, though? But that's so crazy to say that, because, you know, so for instance, you know, Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy, that was one of the most famous presidential debates of all time.
True.
Before, when people were figuring out what was going on with the presidential debate, they all listened to the radio, right? Mm-hmm. People used to tap in the radio, listen, and see who had the most, who was the most informative, right? Now, in that instance, that was the very first televised presidential debate. So anybody who actually watched the presidential debate, I forget the exact year, it was 1960-something or whatever, but they ended up voting for Kennedy. He was a younger, charming gentleman who ultimately reflected and related to the people way, way better than Richard Nixon did, because he was an older gentleman. So again, when I'm talking about, you know, just being able to see the transparency of who will be the president and what they'll do, a lot of times it's on showcase during the debate. You know, even for the fact last time when we was Biden versus Donald Trump, and I think Biden knew he had to get underneath Trump's skin a little bit. He had to figure out a name to call him, so he ended up calling that man a clown. He was like, oh man, I can't stand this clown. Oh my God. I ran away from the TV screen. Oh my God, it's going down, man. It's going down.
But see, I don't think that they're fully being transparent. I think they're just saying what they need to say in order to win over the people. Yeah. And obviously, you're going to say whatever you need to. Calling him a clown, like, come on now. When would that have worked back in the day?
It's not back in the day. It's 2024.
Exactly. So it's a modern day debate now, and it's not transparent. It's not informative. It's literally just for pure entertainment and for people to see the two sides that we have and what we are up against this coming November.
Ben, Carrie, thank you.
Of course. It's amazing. What did you say?
Carrie Mahone, Ben Hooks. So yeah, they work on 101.7 The Truth, Jammin' with Juice, noon starting Monday. And they got what we got, that old school love. 8:40 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We give away Brewers tickets here in just a couple of minutes. But first, big news. from an old band with a new name. Not a new name, no. But new kids anyway.
New Kids on the Block dropping their new album. I was going to say they're just doing the same thing because, well, the same theme, I should say. So that single that you just played is called Kids.
Okay.
The new album is called Still Kids. They're okay. In their 50s, by the way. Holding tight to that youth.
Boy, this is a brilliant move, though, right? Because this is right in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
Right? So they're going for that nostalgia pull. They're trying to get these middle class moms to run out and buy the album or spend the money on tickets
concert
when they
tickets,
tour.
Yep. They're touring. Yeah. I think I saw them when I was 14.
Yeah. Is that your guilty pleasure band? You were kind of scoffing at that a little bit because you were proud of the fact that you're a fan.
I think any New Kids fan is a proud fan, Eric.
Okay, all right.
Nobody's feeling bad about NKOTB.
Would you bring the girls to see them?
I don't know if they'd like them. I don't know if it resonates with kids anymore. That's a great question. I did. So we have, you know, the Alexa Echo Dots or whatever as our alarm clocks.
Right.
And I have woken them up to some of my favorite songs from the 90s, and they are not impressed.
No, they're not going for it. Nope. By the way, we did ask earlier, we opened up the old WDTMJ Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620, and asked what others thought their guilty pleasure band was, a band that they're kind of embarrassed to admit that they're cool with hearing the music from. And we got ABBA, we got Aqua, we got Debbie Gibson, Wilson Phillips, Aha, Hanson was on the list. My favorite from Bob, he says that he does look funny sometimes. People look at him when they see him on his Harley blaring the Barry Manilow.
Yeah, that just
happens from time
mix,
to time.
Does it?
So yeah, the guilty pleasure band. So what? So they have a new album out tomorrow. So we can expect them on all the network television morning shows tomorrow.
Yeah, late night talk shows.
Yeah,
maybe,
oh yeah,
if they
we're gonna
stay up late enough.
There'll be a full push now for new kids stuff. Here we go. All right, it's 8:42. We need to send you to a Brewers game. We play virtual baseball next, so we need a caller. Caller number 9, right now, plays virtual baseball, and there's a twist this week, a special twist because we don't have Vince. So we do have a twist. 855-616-1620. Caller number 9 right now gets a chance at Brewers tickets. 855-616-1620. Brewers virtual baseball next.
This is your chance to be a professional baseball player.
People still don't recognize us.
For 5 minutes. Virtually, of course.
We're contenders now.
Welcome to Virtual Baseball on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Play ball!
All right, Virtual Baseball, sponsored by Siding Unlimited. It's siding and a whole lot more. Honest pricing guaranteed. Visit SidingUnlimited.com. We are looking to send someone to a Brewers game. Joining us on the WTMJ Talk and Text line is Colin. Colin is in Sussex. Hi, Colin.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're great. So we don't have Vince today. So that changes things. We don't have Vince to play against. But I think he's probably happy about that because he hates beating people and preventing them from going to a Brewers game. So we have a twist, Colin. But we'll get to that in a second. First, I'm going to give you some of the rules. There are 20 Brewers highlights. They're labeled 1 through 20. You and a very special guest will play against each other. You each get 3 highlights to choose from. So you pick a number, 1 through 20. The runs that are scored in your highlight is the runs that you get to tally up. So after 3 swings, if you have scored 6 runs in those highlights total, that's what you end up with. So there's no ghost runners, nothing like that. It's just whatever runs are scored in the highlight. Does that make sense?
Got it.
All right. So today we will have Jeff Levering play against you. Jeff is not in the studio, so Jeff will have to go first. You are the home team today. So are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, Jeff Levering, his first pick.
Give me 4.
All right, number 4 today is Joey Ortiz.
Ramirez, third base side of the rubber from the stretch. 0-1, ground ball to third. Beatty charging. Fields goes to second, and that will get the Mets out of the inning.
Oh, okay. That's a good start for you. That's a 0 on the board, right, Michelle? All right. So 0. Next one here from Levo.
Let's try 19.
All right. Number 19 today. 19 is Oliver Dunn.
A 1 pitch.
line down the right field line. This is a fair ball. It'll roll into the corner. Extra bases for Dunn.
Uh-oh.
Makes the turn at first. He's not stopping at second. He's on his way to third. Took him a while to dig it out in the right field corner. He's into third, standing up with a leadoff triple.
So that's great that he tripled, but Colin, he didn't score any runs.
Zero.
Oh, perfect.
All right, so one left here from Levering. What is Levering's last pick?
I choose three.
All right, number three, Willie Adames.
0-1 pitch. Ground ball to short. Could be two. Cruz steps on the bag at second, throws to first, and it is a 6-3 double play.
No,
and a promising start to the bottom of the first. Goes for nothing.
All right, so this is a good sign for you. Levering was shut out, right? He didn't score anything. All right, so there are some more outs on the board, I think. We'll have to see. Colin, all you need is one really good hit here.
All right, Colin. How you feeling here? What number?
I'm feeling pretty good. Let's go with 18.
All right, number 18. Could he walk it off on one hit? Bryce Perkins.
Jake Bowers in the on-deck circle if Perkins can extend the inning a little bit further. Palencia looks in. And the 0-2. Swing and a miss.
All right. Okay.
All right. We still got a couple chances here.
It's a great game so far. It's a pitcher's duel. All right.
What's next?
Let's go with seven.
Number seven. Come on. There's math would indicate that we got to be getting close. Willie Adames.
1-2 pitch. Willie, a swing and a miss. Went after an elevated fastball and strikes out.
Come on. Come on.
All right.
Wow.
Last chance here.
There literally can't be any more. How many have we had so many? Five?
Yes.
All right. I'm feeling confident for you.
All right. You got this, Colin.
Let's go 20.
All right. Let's see. Number 20. Getting up there, scrolling it up. Here it is. It is Willie Adames.
High fly ball, deep right field. Fairchild back at the track at the wall. And he brought it back. Stuart Fairchild just robbed Willie Adames.
No. All right. So, okay. Well, here's how the game is played now, Colin. We've never had this happen before. A full shutout. Okay. So you're tied. That means you get to try to walk it off. You pick one that's either a swing and a miss and the game is over, or if you pick a home run, then you win. So A or B, one of these is an out, the other is a home run. Which is it going to be, A or B?
We'll go A.
A it is. It's Jake Bowers.
The 3-2 delivery. High drive, deep right field. Back goes Reynolds. Grand slam!
Okay, good.
Yes!
There it is, everybody. Congratulations. Holy cow. Hey, congratulations, Colin. You get to go to the Brewers now.
Awesome, thank you.
Jeez, I was getting a little worried there.
That was a nail-biter.
I would have felt awful if there was another out on the board and you would end up not getting the tickets, too. At least this way, you still got the tickets. So, Colin, congratulations. Sure. Stay on the line. Pancake needs to get some information from you. We'll get you to a Brewers game.
Will do. Thank you.
Wow. I've never seen that happen before.
I'm glad that there was a good ending.
Virtual Baseball sponsored by Siding Unlimited. It's Siding and a whole lot more. And if they, I don't win,
it's a shame. Reese Hoskins, tonight's cleanup hitter, brought to you by Loyal Family Renovations. Family owned and operated, loyalfamilyrenovations.com. Whatever you do, don't forget .com. That's a strike on the inside corner, and it's even.
Ooh, that's dangerous stuff.
Oh, baby. Not for this reporter. I got .com all over my body.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm laughing.
Here, look.
SPF 50.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Heads up, scattered showers and storms today, a high of 70. Some of those storms later on this afternoon, they'll be scattered, but some could have some energy behind them, so be mindful of that if you're going to be out and about. A high of 70. Forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Michelle Richards in for Vince Vitrano today. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Always appreciate it. I don't think you're on the guest list, but there is a huge event, a gala, taking place tonight at the Baird Center downtown. You going to be there? You going to go to that?
No, I wasn't invited.
Huge party as they open up the Baird Convention Center. There's going to be an open house where you can walk through the Baird on Saturday for anyone to go see it. And I would encourage it. Vince and I got to go a couple of, maybe like a month and a half ago, we got to go tour it, and we saw Marty Brooks there. He's the president of the Wisconsin Center District.